This is CliffCentral.com.
It is also the first Monday of the working year for most people, 9th of January. So if you've just started your day, well, hello. Look who's here, Mubs. It is a very special guest. It's someone who's been a part of our CliffCentral.com family from the very beginning.
Uh-huh.
And he's back, but he's back to do a whole lot of different stuff. So everybody, put your hands together. Welcome. Sia Sungwini Finn.
Yay! Happy New Year!
Happy New Year to you, man.
We're alive, folks.
Yeah, we made it through 2016, which, by the way, the Hollywood people Meryl was talking to, they're very lucky.
Yeah.
All of those people are just grateful that they're there.
Yeah. I'm putting that on my CV now. Yeah. Made it through 2016.
There was the funniest picture someone sent me of who's that actor who's got the lopsided face?
Oh, dear. What does he do?
You know which one I'm talking about. He
Matt Damon.
No.
Give me some of
Fishburne. Lawrence. No, it's not. Is it Lawrence Fishburne?
Oh, so it's a black guy.
Yeah, but what's
did he play Idi Amin?
Yes.
Forrest Whitaker.
Forrest Whitaker. He's got the one. So they've drawn a line across his face, and they've got the one side of his face. They said, me at the beginning of 2016.
Ah,
and the other side of his face. Me at the end of 2016. Poor Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah.
All right, so Sia, you're here now. Listen, a lot of people had high expectations of you going off on a spiritual voyage.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I don't have the title guru yet, nor do I practice yoga.
Gong, gong, galong.
So that's kind of anticlimactic.
Oh, damn. I thought you'd come back here in orange robes and
shaved off hair. I'll walk because I don't drive anymore.
But
that's
you were doing a lot of projects with schools.
Yes.
So you've been busy.
Yeah, in a good way. I really think, like, not to sound all deep and philosophical, but it was a good thing. I just needed to like breathe a bit. And what a lot of people don't really recognize is it's a lot for a young person to be in this world. And so that's why I don't really blame, you know.
Especially come straight out of school like you did and go straight into the world.
Holy goodness. Oh. So, it was that or cocaine.
Ah, okay.
And I'm glad I chose the first option.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't choose any of the second while you've been away?
No, expensive habits won't look good on me. Yeah. Past that.
But you did spend New Year with Michael Flax. So
yes.
Where were you guys and what did you get up to?
How did that happen?
I'd like to tell you because I have a recollection of 2 hours of the night. Everything else is kind of...
Let's hear about this.
Kind of gone. Yeah, but we were both in Durban at the same time and Michael and I have always spoken. So we've kept in touch and then we were like, hey, I'm in Durban. Like, he's in Durban. We're like, cool.
Sure.
So we met up at a friend's place and literally I arrived there at about like 10:30 on the 31st and by midnight, the background music is a bit intense. Already, though, by like midnight, we were all festive and gone, and that's all I remember. Oh, good night, I say.
Was it like a house party?
Great innings, yes. Oh. I'd say there were like 20 or 25 people. It was just all cool people.
That is the way to do New Year now.
Absolutely.
I don't know how many people went to these big, like, explosive, massive stage DJ. I don't know who goes to those anymore. I can imagine nothing worse.
It's just a good time, you know. You're with people you know,
right.
The environment is chilled, you just have fun.
Yeah, I think New Year is totally overhyped anyway. What did you do for New Year, Mubs?
Well, you know the saying that when it's unplanned, it actually turns out to be the best. Because I was feeling kind of pressured to have plans for New Year's, and then I didn't. But we ended up having the best time. It was like
really
big house party with a whole bunch of people.
That
met
awesome.
New people. So, yeah.
Nice. Meet anyone special?
No.
Bountica power.
No.
Sorry. Okay. Never mind.
Ben, what did you do?
Went to a house party with some friends. Also, it was about 10 of us. And then sensibly went home before New Year's and had New Year's just the two of us at home.
Nice. How very adult. But I expected nothing less from a 900-year-old man like
you. What did you do?
I did zero. It was amazing. I was with my family on holiday. And we literally sat there and we had a lovely supper together. And then watched the fireworks and all of that stuff because there was so much of that going on. And didn't leave the house. It was fantastic.
Did you make 12 o'clock, Granddad?
I did. I made 1:30. Now, look, I mean, most New Year's for me for the last 15 years have been getting to bed at as the sun comes up and hosting the countdown and you know, doing a gig basically. So I've had to do those for years, and it was so nice to actually do a normal New Year's Eve. By normal, I just mean what you know, ordinary people get to choose what they do for New Year.
Mm. True.
But did you instinctively get up on the table and start going, everybody, 10, no. 9?
In fact, we had to we knew by the fireworks that it was 12 because we were doing really chilled stuff. We were talking nonsense and playing board games and all that kind of thing. So it was fun.
Good memories, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Best New Year I've had in years. So it was really, really cool.
It feels really weird, but feels really normal to be like seeing you guys here and the conversation everything. I know.
So. I see you're still wearing the all black uniform.
Yeah.
All black is still a thing.
Okay.
It's still a statement.
He is leading the way with monochromatic.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, I think David Lally already did that. No, you need to find your own thing.
I like being Simon a pioneer, Powell. So let's kind of go with that. I'm not doing the deep V like Simon, but it's kind of like...
Yeah, you got a little V going on.
It's a short V going on.
You know what? Relative to your small chest, that's a big V.
We got
to
represent with the heavage, so that's still going on.
It's actually an ambitious U, really.
Listen, it's still something, okay? Still feel good about myself there. Gotta show it off.
Listen, people are sending in messages. You can WhatsApp us. There's a new WhatsApp number, 0797482090. Put it on your phone and you can join in the conversation. You can also get hold of us on Skype. It's Cliff Central, one word. You can message us on WeChat as you have done for years. So that hasn't changed. Lots of ways to get hold of us. Apparently, according to Hugo, he says, deleting WhatsApp messages, the single great tick message could always be deleted before the receiver gets it. Did you know that?
Yes. Yeah.
If the double gray tick messages can be removed, I guess that's new. Anybody know about that for sure?
And how to do it, most importantly.
Because, I mean, that's just, Mubs was saying earlier, there was a girl who sent her brother a nude photo by mistake. Yes.
Oh.
That has, out of all the things in the universe.
Oh.
That's got to be one of the worst.
That's definitely changed that sibling relationship.
Well, is the silver lining that they didn't send it to the parents?
No. Oh,
like, you see, at least brother, you can, like, talk it through. You can go and warn your brother, like, yo, don't open that. But your mother or your father?
Yeah. I just always think there's something worse in life. I think a dick pic from your dad's going to take it.
No.
That'll be worse. Oh. That'll be worse. Oh. Even worse, a dick pic from your uncle intentional. That's the worst.
No.
Oh dear.
Christmas when you've all had those weird uncles around.
Yeah.
No, don't joke. Like, we all have that weird family member. We're like, you're quartered to, like, Charlie Sheen level. So
I just got a message from Rich Mulholland. He will be joining us shortly for the reality check to start our year off 2017. He just had the most amazing trip to Iceland.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I just had to stay away from his pages.
But listen. How many, and Sia, you're the perfect person to talk to about this.
Mm-hmm.
How many people did you either unfollow or just ignore on social media over the holidays because either they were in a place that was much cooler than you or they made it look like they were in a place that was much cooler than you?
I just stayed away from social media.
Right.
That's the best thing to have done.
And weren't you happy?
Oh, my goodness. Like, the first couple of days is kind of like you itch and you scratch and you're like, what's going on? But then after that, you're like, no, I really don't want to. So.
I don't think I tweeted once.
After our last show in December, I only started tweeting again now.
Yeah, but Mubs takes it. You take a detox. I remember that was your thing.
I do, but then it was so strange because, you know, the risk you take is then you miss out on all the news that's happening. And so when all those people started dying, and then I would hear about it from, like, my brother or my cousin or my mother would ask me, George Michael, this. I'm like, what are you talking about? What do you mean he's gone?
My goodness.
So that's the only risk with detoxing from social media is you miss stuff that's happening.
Well, I wrote a little blog, which is up on cliffcentral.com, about the start of the year. And I mentioned in the beginning, you know, people all get back to the office now and they start comparing their December adventures.
Yes.
It ends up being a little bit of a, like, a competition.
Mm.
I went there and I did this. But I do think among us, Rich Mulholland wins with Iceland.
Oh. Yeah, sure.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, but Gareth, we can't compete with Rich. We've learned this already.
That guy does some interesting stuff.
He's funnier than us. He seems to be cleverer than us. Mm. He's more successful.
Mm.
He this travels
a,
more.
This is a great ego boost for the beginning of the year, Ben. Let's just look at it that way.
No, it's Ben is doing just, wonders. Ben is just realistic about our situation.
He's got more tattoos than all of us put together.
You wouldn't want his life and he wouldn't want yours. The best thing for 2017 anyone can do is be happy to be them. That's number one. There's no one. You'll always be the second best someone else.
True.
You really have no other choice but to be happy to be yourself, because it's not like that there can change, you know? It's not like tomorrow I can ask for an upgraded version of myself.
Mabale 2.0.
Soon you will. I mean, if technology carries on the way that it is, soon you'll be able to augment yourself. But to talk about like holidays and all the rest of it, because we're all just catching up this morning. It's the first time we've all been back together for, what, 2-3 weeks. So, Ben, you had some pretty interesting times. I saw Daniela posting some stuff. You guys went to some interesting places. You did a lot of Cape Town. It seems like you had a very nice, relaxing
time. Cheapest. We went full tourist in Cape Town. We stayed on Long Street, like in a hotel, not one of those dodgy syphilitic backpackers. And we literally walked everywhere.
Syphilitic? You've been to such places?
What else? What is the other adjective for a backpacker? I thought that was it.
Got the visuals now.
I don't know, Ben. I think you know things that the rest of us just don't.
No, stay away from backpackers unless you really want to get things crawling on you. Mm. But yeah, we had a great time. We balanced between Cape Town and then Riebeek West, that holiday metropolis just past Malmesbury in the Cape.
Where nothing has ever happened.
There is two breweries there now.
What?
Yeah.
Is that an achievement?
And one of them actively makes fun of hipsters. One of the beers is called Hipster's Tears. They've got this poster. Every time you drink this beer, a hipster's favorite band goes mainstream. It's such a cool place.
Oh, okay.
That's awesome. My goodness.
All right, listen, the other thing that happened, because we'll get to headlines in a moment again and see what's going on. You know, Mubs are keeping us updated this morning. But a lot of people are very upset about Carrie Fisher dying. Carrie Fisher and then her mom, like, the next day.
Mm.
You know, Debbie Reynolds and Carrie Fisher only really – she was, by the way, a great writer. Hmm. People didn't know this about her, but many of her biggest fans were fans of her writing, not even her acting. And I saw a lot of tributes to her, which indicated far more about the contribution she made as an author than about what she did as Princess Leia or any of the other roles that she had. And she was actually, I mean, she was a really genuinely funny person in her own right. She asked to be, her ashes are in a giant Prozac pill.
You see, that's the way to go.
It's an antique that she had that was a prized possession, and she's asked for her ashes to be put in this Prozac pill, and that's what she'll be buried in.
Yep.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, look.
So listen to this. This is her at the American Film Institute honoring George Lucas a couple of years ago. So, you know, there's obviously the link they have is Star Wars. But Steven Spielberg's in the audience, Harrison Ford, all of those people from Star Wars and a lot of her contemporaries. I just think this shows you Carrie Fisher at her funniest. She basically roasts George Lucas and herself. And it gives you an idea of why she was so celebrated.
Mrs. Han Solo, and I'm an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic because George Lucas ruined my life. And I mean that in the nicest possible way. 57 years ago, I did his little Star Wars film, a cult film that then went on to redefine what they laughingly refer to as the face of cinema. And now, 65 years later, people are still asking me if I knew it was going to be that big of a hit. Yes, I knew. We all knew. The only one who didn't know was George. We kept it from him because we wanted to see what his face looked like when it changed expression. George is a sadist. But like any abused child wearing a metal bikini changed to a giant slug about to die, I keep coming back for more. Only a man like George could bring us whole new worlds, populated by vivid, extraordinary characters, and providing Mark and Harrison and myself with enough fan mail and even a small merry band of stalkers. It's lovely. Keeping us entertained for the rest of our unnatural lives. George, the fact that you made me into a little doll that my first husband could stick pins into. A shampoo bottle where people could twist my head off and pour liquid out of my neck. Lather up with Leia and you'll feel like a princess yourself. And yes, the little Pez dispenser so that my daughter Billy could pull my head back and pull a wafer out of my neck every time she doesn't want to do her homework. I suppose I don't mind. And though amongst your many possessions you have owned my likeness, lo, all these years, so that every time I look in the mirror, I have to send you a check for a couple of bucks. Not to mention, you had the unmitigated gall to let that chick, the new girl who plays my mother, Queen Amadillo, or whatever her name is, she wears a new hairstyle and outfit practically every time she walks through a door. I mean, I bet she even got to wear a bra, even though you told me I couldn't because there was no underwear in space. I'm only slightly bitter because you, my formerly silent friend, are an extraordinary talent, and let's face it, an artist, the like of which is seen perhaps once in a generation who helps define that generation and who deserves every award I now spend the latter half of my Leia-laden life helping to hurl your way.
Is she great? Like, you could tell she wrote the whole thing herself, right?
And in conclusion, Your Honor, I hope I slept with you to get the job, because if not, who the hell was that guy?
Isn't she awesome?
That's funny.
Wow. There we go. That's Carrie Fisher. She made that speech in a tribute to George Lucas a couple of years ago, I suppose.
Wow. I watched her on an episode of Ellen recently, mm-hmm. where she'd written a book, and so she revealed in the book about how her and
Harrison Ford
yes. had an affair while he was married, but yeah. like they
that
kept
was quite,
it.
That was quite recent.
Yeah, yes. they kept it yeah. going for years.
Do you know the funny thing with all of these celebrity passings is you now recognize what this person meant to your generation. So, for example, Carrie Fisher, my generation really didn't know her much, yeah. except for when we saw an Ellen and she says like she drinks Coke every single day. Like I think she said like she drinks Coke like 6 times a day or something.
Well, now she's dead. So
exactly. And then when George Michael passed away, everyone was like talking about the music. And yeah. our generation remembers George Michael as a dude who like had sex in the public bathrooms.
Right.
So it's so hilarious when people recount memories. And I'm like, no. George Michael was nasty.
Well, I got some interesting stories about George Michael that I found because, you know, when all these tributes come up, then people have their stories and everybody has a story. Ooh. So, you know, how's that? Yeah, so the hotels that he used to check into and use pseudonyms and all kinds of other
things. Well, they left syphilitic. What's
syphilitic. Yeah, syphilitic. What was it, Ben?
Yeah, you dare defame George Michael.
Ah, well, I mean, come on now, come on.
It was bathrooms on Hampstead Heath, which were cleaned at least once a week, which is way more than the backpacker.
Oh, that's okay. The bar. Yeah.
All right, listen, we've got George Michael to talk about. We've got to get Rich Mulholland on in the next couple of minutes. We've got Jub to talk about too. He's got a new song out called Apologize. And I've got to play Good Time of Your Life because that's my favorite Jub song. And I finally found it for you over the holidays. Yeah. So all of that and more coming up. Sia's back with us this morning and in a new capacity here at cliffcentral.com too. So stick around to hear more from him. We're going to be doing a bunch of really interesting series of podcasts as well, which we will start very, very soon. That'll change, I think, the way that a lot of people want to consume their content, and we want to make it as easy for you as possible. Plus, I'll tell you about what the special shows are on this morning. through the course of the day on cliffcentral.com too. So lots to catch up on. But let's get into headlines.
Okay. So it wasn't going to be too long before another social media post, kind of sent a ripple effect through people with outrage and
wasn't
all sorts
of... Wasn't this
time
last year Penny Sparrow time?
Penny Sparrow. So there is a Langebaan man who last week called for a mosque to be burnt down. After complaining about the Islamic call to prayer.
What, he didn't like the Allah Akbar Allah?
Yes, that's exactly what he took issue with, Gareth. His name is Liam Ferreira. So he took to social media and...
I've got an alarm clock that does that.
That does the call to prayer.
Yeah, someone bought it for me. I swear, I'm going to bring it in tomorrow.
Well, Liam Ferreira was lambasted on social media after he called for a mosque to be burnt down in the post. This is part of what he wrote. I think it's a crime. Yes, a crime. That no one is standing up to those Muslim bastards blaring their call to pray five times a day over massive speakers. Why do I need to put up with an Arabic tradition created in the desert thousands of years ago? He ended the post by declaring, stand up for yourselves, burn it down. So that was last week. Jesus. And now what happened on Saturday over the weekend is a pig snout and blood was left on the doorstep of a mosque.
Oh, come on.
You know, human beings will never fail to remind you of just how much trash we are.
Yeah, we really are. Listen. I think if people want to celebrate their religion in whatever way they do, and by celebrate I mean also observe the ritual. The more
I banged my head into the microphone.
So if you want to observe your traditions, whatever they may be, that's absolutely great. And I think that everybody should. It's what makes culture rich and exciting and interesting. And no one religion is any better than another. Although all the ideas of all the religions should be challenged for their ability to contribute meaningfully to society. If it's a bad idea, it should be thrown out. Things like stoning a woman for adultery is not such a great idea. The Christians learnt the hard way that if you don't take that crap out of your religion, it'll be beaten out by the Reformation or by the Enlightenment or by anything else. So all these religions have to come too in some ways. Some of the stuff that they tell you is complete nonsense, made up. But I do think if you observe the traditions of your religion, and that includes a call to prayer in the morning, that's great too. You're allowed to do that. I do not think you have the right to transgress upon other people's rights, though, by blaring it loud into a neighborhood, even if the neighborhood is mostly Muslim. And I also think that nobody in the whole universe has the right to cut off a pig's snout and put pig's blood on the steps of a mosque. That's just deeply disrespectful, and it's just a shitty thing to do.
Yeah.
It's completely uncalled for. The one part of this that is criminal is to call for something to be burnt down. That's the part of this that's most offensive. So you may be offended by the azan, the morning call to prayer. You may be offended by the pig snout, different side of the argument. But the thing that is universally offensive to all humans and should be stood up against by our judicial system is that of burning something down. That you're not allowed to do, and you're not allowed to advocate for that. It's called arson.
Yeah, you see, this is the irony in Liam's statement is, you know, he complains about, he says that it's a crime that he's subjected to, you know, to the blaring noises. Yeah.
You're about to figure out what the real crime is.
But
here,
then Liam. He then goes on to say, burn it down. So I don't know, Liam.
If you don't like something and then you advocate something even more horrible happened to the thing that you don't like, you're a douchebag. I don't want to make it any clearer than that, but that's pretty much the center line here. Everybody's against this. I can't imagine there's a person who goes, well, you know, it's a good idea. Let's burn something down. A place of worship. Come on. If we're not adding to culture, if you don't add to culture, if you're one of those people who destroys history, destroys culture, destroys religion, destroys tradition, you're an enemy of all of us. Muslims, Christians, atheists, agnostics, people who are into bells and whistles and gong gong galong galong. I don't care what you do, but you're an enemy to everyone if you decide to destroy. If we can't celebrate every part of humanity, put it all together and figure out for ourselves what the good and the bad and the ugly are without having to take it down, then we're missing out. Then what's the point of being alive? What's the point of discovering new things? God damn it.
All right. And then an elite police unit has now been called in to investigate the cause of death of legendary star George Michael. A number of publications out of the UK.
Really? Do we need the police?
Yes. Toxicology tests are now being conducted, Gareth, on George Michael's body. And this is because police are concerned that the singer's death may have been caused by...
drugs.
An overdose.
Drugs, okay.
Of illegal or prescription drugs. Which wouldn't be... shocking or surprising.
No.
Because, you know, a lot of these people...
George did a lot of stuff to his body.
No, but I mean, how this, you know, this story is almost a typical story when it comes to, you know, to famous people and how they die. I mean, Prince, right? He overdosed.
Yep.
So, yeah. So now, further investigation is required. George Michael's cousin revealed that the star had a well-documented history of drug abuse. And that he was last treated for a crack cocaine addiction back in 2015. His family, though, have denied claims that George was also battling a heroin habit. So,
well, you know, you shouldn't die at 53. 53 these days, it's like the middle of your life.
True.
I mean, if what's his name can make it to
Kirk, 100. Kirk Douglas.
That guy's
still going strong at 5,312. He's a Methuselah.
Exactly. How is that even possible?
We were joking about Kirk Douglas 10 years ago when he was 90. We were like, oh, he's so old.
Yikes.
Yeah, he's 100.
Oh, my.
He's actually 100.
Goodness.
Now, Michael's partner, Fadi Fawaz, he was questioned by local...
Sorry, what's his name?
Fadi.
Fawaz.
Fawaz. He was questioned by police after he found George Michael's body on Christmas Day. And last week, tweets from Fadi's account claimed that Michael had tried to kill himself several times. So, seems like there's more going on here, which is probably why, you know, there's now an elite police unit that's investigating.
Well, apparently, back in the early days of a publication called Pop Bitch, one of the editors struck up a conversation on a site called gay.com with a user by the name of Regent's Park Bi. Having exchanged the usual pleasantries, the two arranged to meet for sex, and the editor was surprised to find none other than George Michael.
Wham!
Step. Yeah.
Just like that.
So he just arrived on the doorstep, went, hey, you know, here I am. George then, after that, took to going to these places in a balaclava so he wouldn't be recognized.
Oh, that's totally, you know, normal.
But he used to preserve his anonymity by checking into hotels under the name Hugh Joss.
Joss.
Hugh Joss.
Okay.
I also just got it.
Hello, I'm Mr. Hugh Joss. Now, George Michael's expected to be buried next to his mother in Highgate Cemetery. Her neighbor on the other side, so in other words, there's George, it'll be his mom, and then on the other side of his mom is, guess who? Alexander Litvinenko, that Russian guy who died of polonium poisoning. They say was poisoned by Vladimir Putin.
How did they end up being next to each other that way?
If it's a public cemetery, you never know who you're going to get.
Oh, okay.
Real estate, actually. That's
pretty good real estate. So few people worked out who George's mother was because she's there under her Greek surname. What was his full name, his actual name?
Oh,
George Michael. Because the guides in the cemetery, because there are quite a lot of famous people buried there, the guides in the cemetery never gave the game away. They told people, this lady's son asks that you don't take pictures of her grave. But nobody knew it.
Georgios Kyriakos Paniatou.
Paniatou, that's right. So the mom was buried there, and George just told the guides to please not refer to her as being George Michael's mom.
Well, even getting the people who work there to say don't take pictures, that kind of makes it fishy. I'd want to take a picture even if I have no idea who that person is.
There we go. Uh-huh. And right next to Alexander Litvinenko, which is quite a big story. Okay, and when we get into George Michael, there's also something special on at 9 o'clock in case you missed the George Michael special that our own Dori van Lochrenberg and Paulo Diaz put together. By popular demand, we are replaying that for you at 9 o'clock this morning, which should be awesome.
Oh, am I gonna get to hear "Wake Me Up"?
Yep.
Before you go.
Everyone loved George. Everyone.
I don't. You know, I really don't think. Even when George, I remember I was playing. I was in campus radio, and we were playing. What's that?
Careless Whisper.
No.
Faith.
Fast Love.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
And if you're looking for faster love.
Well, that's what he was doing in Balaclavas.
Sure. but George was, he was able to joke about himself. I don't ever think he was embarrassing. I don't have any issues with George Michael, and I think that he was a terrific contributor to our musical history. Good for him. I'm sad he's gone.
At the same time, do yourself a favor today. Go onto YouTube and watch Club Tropicana, the music video.
Yo!
It is such a thing. Wham!
Well, don't forget the George Michael special with Dorry and Paolo. That's between 9 and 10 this morning, with his days in Wham to his illustrious solo career, through his personal trials, tribulations, and scandals, and everything else that you need to know about George Michael. All of that's coming up. Elton John made a very moving tribute to him in Las Vegas at his show. He actually did this song, which I'll play for you now. And he had a little – he was holding back the tears. You could hear he was feeling very emotional. Wow. So that was Elton John. That's actually a performance he did just a couple of days ago. Ben just showed us the video for Club Tropicana. You actually, you do have to see it. It's quite extraordinary.
The 80s really had their dangerous moments.
Well, there's a child molester like dude with a moustache. He looks like Borat, and a cowboy hat and no clothes, and he's busy shaking cocktails in one of those cocktail shakers. But it looks really sexual. It's disgusting. If that guy pours you a drink, you run.
There's donkeys, there's trumpets in the pool, there's banana hammocks, everything's in this thing.
It's quite incredible. All right, look who's here. It's Rich Mulholland, and we're all very jealous of the holiday he had in Iceland, which sounds like it must have been the most incredible holiday for anybody in 2016.
It was super rad. It was absolutely amazing.
You lucky bastard. But Iceland is fascinating.
It's an unbelievable place.
You went to the Penis Museum.
Yep. We saw penises bigger than us.
Did you see that whale one that's still there?
Yeah. It's like the dodgy whale penis. There's like this dude, real dude penis. It's like all destroyed. It's like apparently our penises don't stand the test of time as well as other penises.
Did you see teeny tiny penises as well?
Saw some tiny little penises.
Yeah.
So I saw basically a ton of penis.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, but that's not why you went to Iceland.
I mean, well,
you didn't just go for
the main reason.
It was your tribute to George Michael.
Yeah, I did. Look, that is why I went there. But when we were there, we decided to do other stuff as well.
Yeah,
fascinating place. Everyone should go.
So, hot and cold are a big deal in Iceland, right?
Yeah.
There are some very hot things and some very cold things. Is that volcano? You could say that.
Yeah,
bet you could say it.
What's it? No.
It's too difficult.
It's You're not even going
to
try.
So whenever they do the 2L sign, they do this. So Jazz was
ordering
a beer.
They pull their mouth
to the side.
And they go.
And Jazz, we were speaking to friends of ours who are Icelanders. And they were saying, no, the easy way to confuse an Icelander is tell him to use the other part of his mouth. And they can't do it. They learn to speak with one side. So their kind of most popular beer is called Gutt. And
Gutt.
Gutt. Yeah. See, now can I try to do it the other way? And it's G-U-L-L.
All right, so you literally have to pull your mouth.
Yeah.
Like someone stuck their finger in your cheek and pulled your cheek that way.
So that volcano is Eyjafjallajökull. You know what the
That's
funny thing
amazing.
Is? You know what it means? Like this beautiful complex name? It means island, mountain, glacier. All their names are like pond with stone. Udenfagenklu. It is super rad. They're very literal.
Wow.
So the language is 100% phonetic.
Yeah.
So everything is written. They have none of these like, if it's written like this, say it this way.
Oh, so you wouldn't say the word said, S-A-I-D.
Yeah. So everything would be said the way that, and that's why they have these extra characters and letters, because it's to tell you exactly what to say.
Okay.
So theoretically, if you know how to say it, all you have to know is that you emphasize the first syllable. So, A-F-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L- A friend of ours' name is Svanhilda. But I would say Svanhilda, they don't be like, because it's like, Svanhilda. It's like just a whoop.
You're only meant to put all the emphasis on the beginning.
On the beginning. And then the rest of it's like a blur.
Emphasis on the first syllable.
Yeah, emphasis on the first syllable.
Got you.
Have you watched that TV show, Trapped?
No.
No.
So somebody recommended it to me before we left. It's in Icelandic with English subs. If you enjoy in any way those kind of British crime dramas, you know, those kind of, or like The Killing or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It is like that, and it is phenomenally good.
So how long were you there for? Because it looked like you were there for 2-3 weeks.
No. We went to France for snowboarding, mm-hmm. and then we came back for a week, and then we went to Iceland for 8 days.
Okay, so what kind of a place is this? Because it's in the middle of the Atlantic. It's between Greenland and Northern Europe.
Yeah.
There's no real reason to go there. It's out of the way. What's extraordinary about Iceland?
So there's a lot. I mean, first of all, it is between Europe and it's also between Europe and North
Arctic.
America.
Yeah.
And you actually stand on the tectonic plates between the two continents. So you can actually go down, dive, and snorkel and touch North America and Europe, continental
wow.
plates. It's got a ton of, because it's a constantly changing landscape, it's all volcanic. It's got a ton of stuff that changes, and a lot of big glaciers and a lot of cool things to see. And I guess that's it. It's just like rad stuff to see. But the real reason to go is actually just because the people's mindset is so different. Like, have you heard of John Gnarr?
No.
So you got to check this guy out. John Gnarr was the mayor. But in 2008, they were really, really smashed hard by the financial crisis. And everyone was pissed off. So one of the original guys in the Icelandic punk rock scene who went on to become a stand-up comedian said, "This is bullshit, I'm taking over." And he created a satirical political party called The Best Party and then got voted in as mayor.
Wow.
He became the mayor of Reykjavik. And he did some stuff and he made some big changes and he did some cool things. And it was all started as a joke, but people will vote them in.
Sort of like Donald Trump.
Yeah, and there's no celebrity there. There's something weird to see. There's absolutely no celebrity. So Bjork will stand in a queue to get into a restaurant, and if somebody said, "Oh, that's Bjork, let's get her, let her go in," she would be like, "Absolutely not." And everyone, all the Icelanders would be like, "Why would you do that? Why would you let her skip the queue?" The president's house, we went up to the front door, and the prime minister's office, you can just walk in. I could just walk in and say hi.
Really?
Yeah. They've got a bit of a murder problem. There are two a year.
Two a year?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Two a year.
Jeez, that's terrible.
Yeah. Jazz and I were there together, and obviously the worry was, what if you're those two? You know, on one side, everyone's happy, because statistically, the rest of the year, they're fine. And in fact, it's not actually two a year. I think it's they might have three every 2 years.
Wow.
Like, there's just no murder. And when we were booking around, we were booking stuff on tours, and the one guy is a Scottish guy, runs a tour company. And we were talking, I can't remember what we were talking about, but he was saying that he had this couple come in the other day and tell him that his wallet was stolen. He said, "What?" He said, "Yes, I went to this restaurant and my wallet was stolen." He said, "You're having a laugh. There's no way your wallet was stolen. They don't steal things here. You can't get stuff stolen." And sure enough, the guy went back and was behind the counter, and every cent was in it. Like, if somebody sees your wallet.
What an amazing place.
I accidentally paid a cabbie. So it's all these weird thousands of numbers, and it was supposed to be 1600 kroner, and I paid him 16,000 kroner, and he drove away hooted and came back and said, no, you gave me far too much money, and gave me it back.
That would never happen here.
Didn't accept a
tip. So I take it he wasn't one of the guys doing the murdering then. He sounds cool.
Yeah. And you don't, he's not in that cult. Don't accept tips for anything. It's only, if there was even a slight negative, it's not a negative, but if it was a slight negative, it's that there's no tipping. So minimum wage is so good that you just don't tip anyone. Like, the Icelanders won't tip anyone. But the service then is good enough, it's efficient, but you actually realize we're quite spoiled. Bribing serving staff actually does that. That does have a helpful upswing. So if Jazz and I were playing a card game and the pizza plate was still in front of us, no one would be in a rush to take it away there.
Right.
And the one time I said, "Sorry, do you have some chili flakes?" And she said, "Yes, they are on the shelf." And I was like, "Oh, okay.
Go get them yourself."
My bad. and so that's the kind of thing. But it really is certainly a place that you should add. It was on our bucket list, and now we definitely want to book back. Probably 2018 summer we'll go.
And I've got those hot springs and then that very cold sort of wintry landscape and
crazy.
Mountains.
It was freezing. We were in jackets and jerseys. They would run around. They'd run into the cold North Atlantic. And then they would run straight in, and they would be like red, like you see these beetroot men running back in their speedos, and then they jump into the boiling hot spring. oh, there's no, everything's off the grid. You know, there's no, they say to you, when you turn your taps, the hot tap and the cold tap come from different water sources. So the cold tap comes from a beautiful spring and it's perfectly, it's mineral water that you're drinking from the tap. And the hot tap is geothermal. So it smells slightly sulfuric at first. You have to get used to it. But they say, please, guilt-free, you shower and bath as long as you want because it's all just using geothermal. Wow. All the electricity in the country is 100% geothermal. So everything they do, all their car, everything is geothermal.
Doesn't it seem that all of humanity should be aiming to be like Iceland eventually?
This is where the magic comes. As you start realizing, like, this place has it right. You're only 330,000 people, and nature keeps beating you up. It keeps beating the shit out of you, right? So you have to learn. So they eat weird things at times and stuff like that.
You ate that disgusting fish.
Fermented shark. Oh. It tastes like ammonia. You do it as a dare.
Did you vomit?
Nearly, I gagged. But and then I ate it, and I said to Jazz, let me see. And she pressed record when it wasn't eating, and then stop when I did eat it. So she made me do it again.
So you've got that video.
Yeah.
Can we have that?
Yeah, for sure. I'll send it through. Right, it's pretty gross. Ugh.
Do they have strange rules, like no flushing toilets after 10 p.m. or, you know, like weird stuff like that?
No, they have everyone's, so fireworks, no fireworks the whole year, except for, there's like a 1 week window and then it's as much fireworks as you can shoot. And all the money goes, you can only buy fireworks from one place and that's search and rescue. So the search and rescue for the year, basically stupid tourists, saying don't drive your car on a glacier. They're like, this one looks safe. They spend their life like four times a day. A helicopter goes out picking up stupid tourists doing stupid things. And it's 100% paid for in 1 week of fireworks.
Well, that's a clever way of fundraising.
Yeah. So actually, with everyone hating on fireworks, I feel they've done a good thing. Obviously, you never wear your shoes inside. So you get into a house, you take off your shoes.
It's also because you're wearing like snow boots.
Yes, and everything's wet and stuff. And it's just a fascinating place. And the people are and sex. So a woman, they say if you can't get laid in Iceland, you're just not trying. They have a very different mindset around the attitude towards sex. So there is absolutely no, you're a woman sleeping around, so you're a slag. That does not exist as a concept. If a woman wants to have sex, so the first place in the world to have a female prime minister. They've currently got, if it's a president or prime minister, I'm not sure, but they've got a female lesbian head of state. They've got and it's not like a thing for them. They're not progressive. They're not leftist liberals. They're just
ordinary
whatever
people.
Man. That wasn't part of her campaign. And if a woman wants to have sex with you, she'll have sex with you because she's in complete control of her own body and she likes sex.
Who would have thought such a revolutionary concept, huh?
Anyway, I actually have it. If I've got 2 minutes, I've actually got something.
Yeah. I know you do, but I just wanted to hear all about Iceland. I hope it kind of segues in.
I really think so. It was a very big soul-searching-y thing. There's a lot. I really, really would live there. Like if I could, it's a phenomenal, phenomenal place.
Let me guess, they've got like amazing internet that comes out of a rock or something.
The internet is, that's the other thing. We're seeing this. Oh, the other thing is they have beautiful love of less. Like the little Airbnb we stayed in, it wasn't like these people, like they, it's stupidly expensive to live in the middle of Reykjavik, but they have kind of what they need and not too much more.
They're not consumer culture.
Yes, they're not overly. That's the thing. Like the people I went to see, some of our friends there, they have a board game collection. They own a board game shop, so I guess they wouldn't need to have a big. But they're like, they have the games they really, really want. There's no understanding, why would you want to own 650 games? You can't play that much. They're simply not like that.
So they have what they need and they don't go for more.
Yes, and they'll buy stuff they want and they'll use it. They won't have superfluous waste. They don't seem like a superfluous, wasteful place.
Simplicity.
Yeah, simplicity. But again, not simple people at all. They're almost highly evolved. They're smarter than us to the point of they understand the value of simplicity as opposed to we're simple folk.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, so the other thing I wanted to start off with the year was I go to this leadership summit in Washington before I went to France, and I'm standing there. I have to stand up and do this speech, and it's like 3 minutes at the end. I'd already done one little speech, a short little one, early standing ovation from the guys. I was super amped. I had to stand up at the end. There's 28 people in the room, and we had to say who were we when we came in, what did we learn here, and what are we going to do differently? And I was amped and I had everything and prepared it. And I stood up and I felt like bloody Meryl Streep. And I started to cry. and I cried my way through a speech for 5 minutes.
Why? What the hell happened to you? You're not that kind of guy.
Well, I'm not, except it made me realize that, and this is, I guess, where the point's going to come in. It made me realize that I actually have to start taking control. Shit that's not working great for me is not working great because of me. And I actually had to start turning around and saying, you know, you got 100 excuses and 100 great lines for things that you're not in control of. Ah, well, you know, my focus on my business is not my priority. No, bullshit. If it's your business and it's your thing, it is your priority. It's your job. And I think I actually stood up and I said, the person I came here was a liar. Like, I lie about a lot of stuff to myself.
Right.
This isn't that important. This isn't that thing.
Sure.
And it gives me an easy escape. And bizarrely, I got very emotional in it, and it was a thing. It was, like, cathartic. And why I want to bring this up is I think people last year lied to themselves with a small little thing. It seems like a small thing. But the amount of times I heard people saying, oh, 2016 strikes again last year, to the point that it started becoming an excuse. Like, oh, my sales weren't great and things like this. Oh, we didn't make target again. Oh, and this genuinely was a conversation I had with a friend of mine who's an entrepreneur. Didn't make target. It was horrific. Oh, 2016, what can you do? No, you can build a better pipeline. You can do many things, but you can't blame a calendar event for stuff. And I love reading fiction. One of my favorite books is a book by this guy, Kevin Wingle, and it's called People Die. And let me explain something. Celebrities, guys, they're going to die. I'm going to make a prediction this year that even more celebrities are going to die this year. And it actually makes sense because as celebrity grows, you know, there weren't that many celebrities in the 50s and 60s.
There's going to be more of them to die.
So now there's internet heroes and more. There's 50 genres of music that all have superstars and all things. There's more, statistically more people that can die. And we're confusing this correlation of people, random people dying. Like a bunch of fucking drug addicts keep dying. I'm like, oh my God, 2016. No, heroin. Like, come on. Okay? There's stupid lifestyle choices. And all I want to do as a cautionary tale this year is to say, let's make that hashtag die in 2016. Let's make the idea of blaming a year. Like, as shit years go, 2016, not so bad. 1945.
Yeah.
You know?
1926, and it's 6 million people starved to death in the Ukraine.
Right, exactly. I mean, we can list hundreds of events of where lots of people were dying for stupid reasons.
The smallpox.
Yeah, smallpox, the plague, the whatever. Yeah. You know, and I just want to say that we all had a laugh and we all had those 2016 hashtags. But later on in the year, people genuinely started to say, to use it as personal excuses for why things weren't working out for them. Oh, 2016 strikes again. And I just want to stress that I think that joke must be over. We've had our year where we can blame the year. Let's not, when people dying this year.
But you know what? Here's the problem, Rich, is that what you were saying earlier is that people don't. They lie to themselves. They find other people and other things to blame for their own inadequacies. I think if it's not the year, we'll find something else to blame this year.
Trump.
It'll be Trump. It'll be politicians in general. It'll be climate change.
I like blaming far lefties. That's my favorite thing to blame.
It'll be, but it could be those too.
Hipsters.
It could be all kinds of stupid shit.
Yeah, there's always somebody that we're ready to blame, depending on how much we hate said, you know, category of people.
Right. So I'm trying to start this year with blaming, well, myself, at least I tried to end last year with the premise of an understanding of a lot of the time I only have myself to blame.
I think one of the worst human characteristics, and I thought about this over the holidays, is scapegoating. It's what we do when we can't take personal responsibility for something.
Yeah.
Whether it's another group of people, whether it's an idea, whether it's a religion, whether it's a piece of technology, there's always something to blame that means you don't have to be responsible. Well, I've got bad news for you. This is going to have to be the year that you decide it's me.
Yeah.
I'm responsible for all the destruction and havoc in my life, and I'm responsible for the good. So choose to have more of the latter and less of the former.
Right. And I guess I don't want this to be a resolution for me thing. I think
no,
it was more of
a realization
that happened late in the year. And the problem for it was that once I came to that realization, there is no turning back. Actually, I'm unable to stop the lie now.
Yeah.
And to carry it on. So anyway, so that was that. So that was my challenge.
Well, here's a question from somebody. This question is, they always seem to roll Elton John out for obituaries when celebrities die. Who will sing for Elton John when he shuffles off the mortal coil? Hmm. Any ideas?
Well, yeah, I mean you got to think David Furniss should know how to sing by now.
But I mean, that is true. Like, will they? Elton John should actually pre-record his own.
Yeah, he should. Forsyth.
I lived my life. You know what? We can do like a Gorillaz hologram type thing, you know, Tupac. Yeah. We can Tupac Elton John to sing at his own memorial.
Yes.
Because he does People Die songs.
Yes.
That's his thing to do. Like, that's his jam. Like, I actually think, if you think about it, it's probably him killing the bloody celebrities.
So it's like Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah, like when album, yeah, he's like Angela Lansbury of the celebrity music world. Whenever like it's gone for a while and he needs to up his record sales, he's like, shit, somebody big's got to go.
Hey,
George Michael, pop over for a sec. Listen, pass him a needle. And then George Michael dies. And then, I mean... Yeah, I actually think whoever that tweet was, they're into smarter stuff.
Yeah, it's very smart.
Yeah.
All right. Rich, cool. Listen, so good much. To see you. I'm glad you could make it for our first show back to set the agenda for 2017, and always valuable to hear what you have to say. We had a piece of fan mail for you earlier, actually. Someone said they listened to all your podcasts of last year in a row on a 500-kilometer road trip, and they loved it.
Wow. Thank you so much, whoever that is. That's Quentin. Amazing. Thank you, Quentin. Yeah, I'm away again until the 7th of Feb.
What are you doing this time?
I'm off on Wednesday to Dubai, and then I'm going straight from there to Canada. I'm doing a speaking tour there.
Canada, eh?
Canada. I'm going, like, dodgy places, like rad, like Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
Nice.
And then I'm back again in Cape Town for a few days, then I'm going to Portugal, UK, and Puerto Rico.
Very. What an interesting cornucopia of places you're gathering.
Yeah, but I was saying to a friend of mine, he said to me yesterday, oh, I'm totally jealous. So I said, dude, you measure the time you say goodbye to your kids and your wife in hours.
Yeah.
So you're winning at life. All I get is passport stamps. Anyway, but it's cool. It is interesting. I certainly don't feel like a victim.
No, hell no.
Rad.
And I'm very, very happy to hear about Iceland. It's one of those places I've always been fascinated by.
Awesome, guys. It was really fantastic to be back. Yeah, well, I don't know if you saw that one.
The robot, we had that last year.
That was just came in, so I've got to do the colors. That's settled now, so I've got to do the colors and things.
Looks pretty good, man.
So hopefully next time I see you, I'll have these done, and the whole thing will be full, and I'll be done.
Looks amazing.
Rad. All right. Take it easy.
The ongoing Rich Mulholland Project. All right. Absolutely. Thank you, Rich. Reality Check Mondays with Rich Mulholland. It's just after 8 o'clock, and we're getting, it feels like we've been back for a couple of days already.
Yeah, it does, ne?
But this morning has flown by.
No, for me it hasn't.
Yeah, Mubs, I'm going to bring in Weed Wednesdays for you. We're on a Wednesday at 8 o'clock.
Yes.
Whoever the guest is, you can sit there and light up with them.
Okay.
Are you happy with that?
I am happy to make this work.
As long as we can have Flash Fridays where you come in without a top.
No, that's never going to work.
See, there's no give and take with my belly, is there? There's no yin and yang.
Ben, it's my way or the highway.
Someone very important in South Africa, I think important to a lot of people because it was such a big story. When he went to jail and the reason he went to jail, he wrote off those kids on the road and there was drinking and driving and there were drugs and it was Mini Coopers. And it was just a horrible story when it happened. And I remember we spoke about it a lot because what I was interested in was not so much the tragedy of the event, but the tragedy of a person here. There was this young guy who had a career full of promise, and I certainly don't want to make it about him because he's the well-known one. I was just as upset by the death of these school kids. But in this case, Jub was a young dude. He was just starting out in the world. And I remember I knew members of his family. And I just felt like this was such a tragedy on all fronts, not only for the people who'd lost their relatives, for those affected by the actions, the perhaps negligent and stupid and dangerous and criminal actions of Jub, but also him and his family. Here's this kid who goes to jail. He had a kid of his own. And you just think about what lives were brought down to the ground by this ugly event. And now, a couple of years later, he rightly has served his time and, like anybody, deserves another chance. So Jub's out. There are a lot of people who are very fired up about this on both sides of the agenda. Some people saying, well, he should never have gone to jail in the first place, which I don't understand. And those people who say he should never have been let out, which I don't understand. And I think it just gives us pause to reflect. And the same thing will happen one day when Oscar Pistorius gets let out of jail. There'll be people who say, he's out too soon. And there'll be people who say he should never have come out. That he should never have gone in. And it's crazy. Like, this is just how the wheels of justice turn. And everybody has an opinion. But I got to say, I'm relieved for Jub Jub that his time in jail's over. I think that this is the kind of situation that it's just so ugly in every way. And if he could go back, I'll bet you he would change everything. And he would want those years that he'd had to spend in jail back. But it's just something to think about. As you start the year, you don't realize how in an instant your life could change. Sometimes it's within your power to control that, sometimes not. On the way, we've got an amazing guest. I'm very interested in speaking to this guy because he's got here's the pamphlet, Mubs. Let me give you this and you have a look at this. Because, okay. You know, it's the start of a brand new year.
Yeah.
So Quibus Rousseau is going to join us. He's got to read that out, what parts of it you're interested in.
Oh, he's a hypnotist.
Among other things, yeah.
Is he going to do stuff to us?
No, but he's gonna help us to set things up for the new year.
I think basically that question means he must do something to you.
What got me interested is this is what he calls himself, a personal advisor, invisible sidekick, and professional wingman. Those are cool job titles, don't you think? And who wouldn't want an invisible sidekick and professional wingman? Mm. Hell yes. We'll find out all about him, and maybe he has some tips on how we can get the year off to the right start. So he does mentoring, he does coaching, he does healing, he helps you find emotional solutions to things. It's a very interesting combination of stuff. And you know, these days, the job description isn't what it used to be. Lawyer, doctor, you know, those kinds of things are outdated.
But also, we were just talking with Rich about, you know, how we need to start taking responsibility for things that go wrong in our lives.
Well,
I mean, this...
Quibus might be able to help us.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, he's coming up. Here's some Jub Jub for you this morning. It is, it's almost 8:15. Let's get cracking. I had to search high and low for this song. Do you remember we played the Ray Parker Jr., the riff that he took for the chorus? But I love this. So, this year, let's have a good time of our lives, all right? 2017, baby.
This is CliffCentral.com.